play a game.
Is that a Unix book?
You didn't say the magic word.
The files are in the computer?
We're only using a simple polyphonetically grouped 20-squared digit key transpose from booster phonic form with multiple nulls.
After very careful consideration, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your new defense systems suck.
So the combination is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
So it's a code breaker. No, it's the code breaker.
Welcome to the season finale of the CyberTap. Mike, this is our last episode of season one.
This is not the beginning of the end. This is just the end of the beginning.
Ooh, man, that's good. That's real good. You should have that printed on a t-shirt. Well, we've had an interesting season here, Mike. I think it's not quite what we expected. We've learned a lot.
Well, to be honest, after the first outing, I thought we might make it like 3 episodes and give up. But
yeah,
I think we found a groove.
We did. And I think the original plan we had, Mike, from kind of our leadership perspective was we'll do 6 episodes. And if nobody listens and we're unhappy with the product, we'll quit. we won't keep right. doing this. And this is our 12th episode. So we made it past that first 6, which is exciting. Now, I guess the real question is, do we have listeners or are we happy with the product or both? And for me, I'm pretty happy. I think we're certainly not the best podcasters in the universe. That's clear. We are our command of the human language. See, I've already butchered it. Our command of the English language.
We were faithful to our original assessment.
Yeah, exactly. But we have listeners. And so the show goes on. And even though season end is wanting, even though season one is ending.
Now, what people don't know is we may be doing this on purpose to give our technician a little extra to do for our last episode.
You have no idea. We just throw curveballs in there left and right, you know, all sorts of fun stuff. So Mike, I thought for this episode, it'd be fun just to kind of look back at the last 11 episodes, hit some highlights, laugh at ourselves on the lowlights, talk about what we've learned. We'll kind of recap, you know, our downloads and kind of our statistics and how successful we think we've been. And we measure success on the number of listeners. And so I think we've done a good job. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And so to get things started, Mike, I'll ask you first, was there a particular story that you thought would be good to recap?
Yeah, I think the Okay Zoomer. And I'm not just picking this because I chose the name, and I think it's fantastic.
It is a good name.
I think that one touched a lot of people, especially because of the impact it had with the start of the coronavirus and how the extra usage for the Zoom and other video chat tools became such a big necessity. So anyway, to recap the episode for – I know everybody's listening now has already heard it multiple times because it's such an enjoyable episode. But
right.
It was highlighting all of the failings that Zoom was encountering, this lack of encryption or the Zoom bombing. I can't remember every single aspect of it. But
well, the media coverage was crazy.
I mean, there was a ton of media
coverage. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was one of those that, yeah, this is a great tool. This is a fun tool. And all of a sudden, you know, Google was banning it for use inside of its company, and I mean, it was really, really poor reception.
DOD the DOD banned it. Yeah, there was a lot of that.
That's true. Yeah, so since our release of our episode, Zoom has released a 5.0 version that addressed some of security concerns. I think it actually did some of the 256 encryption. Still wasn't the end-to-end that they promised. And so recently they acquired Keybase, which is an end-to-end encryption organization or tool that they're going to implement with their Zoom product to actually deliver what they promised on.
Yeah, so Zoom was a punching bag in the media. I mean, it probably had some late night, you know, shots taken at it. Zoom was getting pretty much beat up over their security. But to their credit, Mike, as you point out with the acquisition of Keybase and their latest update, they're really trying to shore things up over there. And so credit where credit is due. So good job to Zoom for working through this and, you know, patching their systems along the way, their software and getting things pointed in the right direction.
So what was a story or an episode you thought would be valuable to retouch on?
Well, one of the stories that I found to be quite interesting was the ransomware of the DoD aerospace manufacturer Visser. So in an earlier episode, we talked about how Visser was ransomwared with the Doppelpaymer strain of ransomware. And we didn't have a ton of information because I think the story was fairly new at that time. But with CMMC coming out and kind of the focus on shoring up the supply chain for Department of Defense and aerospace, it was a really timely article and a kind of a timely attack to some of the things we had been working on. So that one stood out to me a bit. And it's also one that has an update that we weren't able to share until now. So if you go over to the Register, there's an article from, looks like the 10th of April. So it's been a month or so since this update. But the gist of it, Mike, is that Visser decided not to pay the ransom. And so the title of the article goes like this. It says, "Ransomware scumbags leak Boeing, Lockheed Martin, SpaceX documents after contractor refuses to pay." And the article is by Sean Nichols, again, over at the Register. And unfortunately, they did. They dumped a lot of the information that they had encrypted and held for ransom. They dumped it out onto the public space. And so everything from anti-mortar system specs, legal paperwork, payment forms, and more. So I thought that was an interesting update. I do give Visser credit for not paying. I go back and forth. It's really a business decision. And so I don't say you should never pay. I'm not a never payer. When it comes to ransomware, there's probably some business decisions that would lead you to go ahead and pay. But I do give them credit for not paying. It's a hard stand sometimes to take, knowing that you could have reputation damage, other legal issues and things like that. But good on them for not paying. But too bad that the information was leaked. Kind of knew it was coming. But that was the latest update. And that was one of those articles when we unpack the news that kind of stuck out in my mind from the season. Mike,
did you sift through any of the blueprints to see if there might be a new military equipment you might want to add to your compound?
Yeah, I've actually been building an anti-mortar system based off of spec. I think it's interesting. But I'm not going to spend my time I guess supporting that action either.
Right. No, absolutely.
And plus I don't need an anti-mortar system as of now. And so I'm all good. I'm all good here. So, Mike, question for you about this season one. What was your favorite overall moment?
I'll give you a favorite, and I'll give you one cringeworthy moment.
Hey, twofer. I love it.
Twofer, yeah. So my favorite is actually the episode one and teaser, because that was where we were sitting in the basement. We were, like, sharing a microphone. We didn't know what we didn't know. So we were pretty free going. We messed up really constantly.
Wow.
But we were having such a good time. Now we've still had good times going forward on these episodes, yeah. But there have been a few moments where I come away with a little bit of a drop sweat. Just, did I say the right thing? Did I mess it up? Now, of course, our technician Eric has covered up a lot of other things that people, our listeners, have never heard and sure. They never will hear.
That's right.
But yeah, I think the beginning of it was probably my favorite point. And
yeah,
I look forward to continuing. It's been fun. I think it's been informative, like we always wanted it to be. Now, my cringeworthy moment, and I don't even remember what episode it was, but we did a 25 or 26 minute episode. My audio dropped from Zencastr after 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
I had to go through and I had to re-record all of my audio and try to make it sound like I'm actually part of the conversation. It was a nightmare.
Ah, the magic of post edit, right? People would have no idea, but yes, that was not a highlight for sure. I don't know if it's a low light, but it was one of those learning moments.
So what about you? What'd you enjoy? What'd you hate?
Well, I agree with you. I really enjoyed the beginning when we're just figuring it out. And I remember, we're recording sound bites and trying to figure out how to do things and laughing till our cheeks hurt, at least my cheeks hurt on my face, those cheeks. And so I remember that fondly as well. I'm such a sap. I really, probably my favorite moment was my daughter being on two episodes ago. So,
oh, Dad.
I know. Well, I finished that episode and I was very proud of her. She's 14. And so for her to come on and talk about cybersecurity and her transition to e-learning and be a valuable contributor. It was a proud dad moment. Now I recognize that's very, very sappy. But you know, it is what it is. That's me. So do I have something I really didn't like or a low point? You know, early on for me, having to listen to all my ticks.
What was it again?
Yeah. So having said that, my ticks really bothered me in the beginning. I think for the most part, I hear some of them. I still have the same ones. I'm not an guy as much as I am a so guy, I found out. And so
I recently was just sitting in a sitting on the other side of the couch, listening to my wife have a conversation over the phone. And she says so way more than I ever have. So I don't feel as bad.
Well, I don't say like. If I said like a lot, I think I would hate myself even more. Like, totally. But having to hear yourself back on the microphone and work through your tics and maybe just get comfortable with them was a little tough at the beginning. And now I don't care. So what if I say so all the time? So.
I think our audio technician has had to listen to us 3 times more than we've had to listen ourselves. So
yeah, poor guy.
So he's probably in worse shape.
Well, we appreciate technician Eric for the work he's done on the show. I think you made a good point of even when your audio dropped, you know, I didn't have to come back on and re-record, and producer Jim didn't have much more to do, but Eric had to sit with you again and help you through re-recording some of that. And obviously the weight was on you, but him to splice it together, he's done a great job for us. And I think that is a nice segue into the next question I have for you, is kind of what we learned about podcasting. I mean, we set off, Mike, at the beginning of this with no idea really what to do. We said, well, how do we run a podcast? We knew we wanted to reach some of our audience, our students, some clients, things like that, but no idea really what to do. So, you know, what did you learn, Mike, about this whole process that maybe you weren't thinking about when we started?
I learned that the good equipment matters.
Yeah,
because I think we tried to start off with headset microphones. We didn't have we have like a unit system that can boost the gain and all that type of thing. We had a very basic setup, and it wasn't rubbish, but you know, we had a lot of items that we had to overcome. And so I think the equipment improvements that we've made, you know, we've got some pretty good mics. We've got the audio equipment. We've got the good capturing software. I think it has made our production value go up. I've also learned interviewing is hard.
Yeah.
Because you never know the right question to ask on your audience. I mean, sometimes you do, but, you know, when like we had the panel of the students, you know, they're different backgrounds, they're different experiences. So you're trying to ask the same question to 3 different individuals, and sometimes you have to change it on the fly. So interviewing is much harder than I thought it was.
Yeah, I agree. For me, I agree about the equipment. Didn't quite realize how important and how different microphones are. I'm still on a rubbish microphone, actually, because I don't have the ability at home yet to hook in our good microphones, because we actually use what kind of cable? XLR? What are those cables? I forget. Whatever. You know, the big mic fat cables.
The big fat cables, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's why we have technician. That's why our sysadmin Chuck helps us out with a lot of acquisition of that equipment. I don't know that we've mentioned Chuck before, but he's one of our staff members. He helped us look into the equipment. And I agree. That's been something that, you know, I kind of knew it, but I guess I thought, oh, I'm sure you can make it okay. Right? No, it does matter getting good mics and things like that. I agree with you also. Interviewing is tough. And then I think the idea generation, I guess I just was overall surprised to learn it is a significant effort to put together a 20-minute episode.
Yeah, very much.
30-minute episode, yeah.
I mean, we can do some sound bites. We can read headlines, but you want to fill a good content-based 20-minute episode. Yeah, it's difficult.
Yeah, and to make it meaningful. And so hopefully we've been able to do that. I hope our listeners have enjoyed the effort that we've put in, because it is no small effort. So I think that's been one of the things that I learned. You know,
it's also you talk over each other when you can't see each other. So
that happens all the time. Yes, it does. That makes life a little harder for Eric, but for us, it's just like having a conversation, right? If we talk over each other during conversation, we finish each other's
Sandwiches.
Sandwiches. What is that from? I don't know. It's a TV show, I think. Okay. So the next thing I wanted to just quickly cover, Mike, is the stats that we've seen. So we use Buzzsprout, which is it's a distribution service for our podcast. So we record and then we use it to be a central repository and then distribute to the various podcast platforms. Yeah. Thanks, Mike. Finish each other's sandwiches. So we've had now about 1,500 downloads of our first episodes. And I, you know, for me, I feel like that's a success from a ground zero of a very specific topic, being a small group at a Midwestern university. We're not backed by any machines and we have spent zero on advertising. The only thing we've done is put it out on Buzzsprout and distributed to the major players and then asked our staff and participants to every once in a while, you know, ping their social medias to say, hey, we're out here doing something. And we have a bit of a social media presence, as most listeners are probably aware. But 1,500 downloads, pretty good, Mike. What stats do you find interesting to look at?
I'd like to say that the geographical, but to be honest, we've mentioned in the past, we have no idea whether that's VPN usage or whether that's actual location information.
Yeah.
There is some amount of diversity. Now it is very much North America.
Yeah. 90% North America. Let's face it.
It makes me wonder, hopefully some of those are not all VPN usage. You know, how do they get attuned to our podcast?
Yeah.
Where do they go to see that there's the cyber tap exists and decide, let me click on this button.
Yeah. So I would say this, if anyone is listening from somewhere other than North America, really, and you email us at cybertappodcast@purdue.edu, I will send you a Purdue t-shirt. You send me your size via that email and I will send you a t-shirt. I think that's interesting. The user location is something that I've looked at. You know, we're at, like I said, 90% North America, 50% of all of our downloads are really in central Indiana. So half of our listeners are in our geographic location, which makes sense. But we've got 3% in Europe, 4% in Asia, 1% in South America, and less than 1% in Africa and Oceania. So Oceania. I don't even know why it says that. And so, yeah, we have a very small international population that listens to us. So if you're out there and you send me an email with your t-shirt size, I'll send you a t-shirt, a Purdue t-shirt. So we'd love to.
You're going to have to verify that you're sending it to an international address.
Oh yeah, I'm going to pay more for shipping than I am the t-shirt. But I'll send you.
Was there other stats that interested you?
Well, I love the location. I watched the total download, especially early on. It was really fun to say, hey, we've got, 20 downloads. We've got 33 downloads, man. People are listening. This is great. At the time, most of it was us. But now we know it's not just us because our staff has not downloaded and listened.
You're Jesse Eisenberg in the Social Network, just clicking the refresh button on your Facebook.
Those first few days after the first episode, second episode, yeah, I was. I was really, really watching it. But it was fun for me. I do like to look at what apps and devices. So it's interesting that we're still getting a pretty sizable majority listening through the web browser, which that surprised me. I'm an Apple podcast user, and I've also listened on Spotify, but fairly small percentages on those apps, and we're getting a lot on the web browser. I thought that
we do have a nice handy RSS feed for the episodes on our homepage, so I'm guessing that we have some local users or sure. Other past customers have been using that as their interface.
Yeah. I thought that's been an interesting statistic. I don't know what that tells us. I don't think our sample and our population is, a good representation of the podcast community as a whole. But it's interesting. It's interesting for us. I did see about 30 downloads on an Apple Watch, which was interesting. I didn't even know. So people were listening through their Apple Watches. Unknown computers, iPads, Macs, Android phones, Apple phones, Windows computers. Windows computers is leading the way in ours. So I like the stats that Buzzsprout provides, and it gives me something interesting to look at and talk about a little bit. But I think that's another good segue into our listeners. So, I'm very, very thankful for all the folks that have tuned in. We've had some of our former students. I've communicated with them via social media, and they said, hey, keep the podcast coming. I listen every time, and I think that's a lot of fun. So I had some of our trainees that had gone through our program. So just a kind of a shout out to all them that listen. Hopefully you enjoyed your time here. We certainly enjoyed having you guys as students, and look forward to kind of tracking your career as you venture off into your career in cybersecurity. And thankful for those listeners and all our listeners, really, Mike. And so I can't say it enough. If we didn't have listeners, we still wouldn't be doing this.
Thanks, Mom and Dad, for listening from Texas to diversifying our population a little bit.
Oh, you know what? Is that the ones? I know where they're. I know where
actually,
they live.
I don't even know.
I did
tell them that we were doing this, but I don't know if they have actually listened.
You know, I don't know either. I do. I've seen some listens from where I was in Virginia, which is cool. So maybe somebody's seeing me or listening from where I used to live in the DC metro area. That's pretty fun. I'm looking, Mike, from where your parents are, roughly geographically here. Sorry, man. I don't think they love you that much. I'm not seeing it.
No, I mentioned it one time in a passing conversation. They didn't bite, so.
I haven't really talked to my parents about it. That was our early joke, right? Like, that was our early joke that only our parents would listen, and it turns out we haven't even really told them that we're doing it. So.
Well, I wanted to make sure that I didn't sound like an idiot.
Yeah, well, there's that. You know, don't want to disappoint
our
parents.
I'm not sure I've succeeded or not yet.
Yeah, certainly don't want to disappoint our parents. So, well, thanks to all our listeners. We appreciate you all very much. But we want to... Before we sign off on this episode, we want to talk a little bit about what's coming. So this is our last episode of season one. So this is the end, my friend. Is that a Boosh? I think that's a Boosh thing, isn't it?
I was thinking that. I did a quick search on Google's to see if I could find the end or something like that, and nothing popped up.
Pretty sure that's another Mighty Boosh reference there. So this is the end of this season, but it's not the end of the CyberTap. The CyberTap podcast will be back for a summer session. We're going to do a mini season, three episodes. They'll be released one in June, July, and August. And this is kind of us following the academic calendar, Mike, right? So we do a full season for the spring semester. We started earlier this year, got out 12 episodes, which is roughly the length of a semester. We'll do the same thing in the fall. So season three will be a kind of a normal length season again, and we'll do 12 episodes. We're going to have a slightly different summer though. I think we're still figuring out. We want to maybe do some thematic elements or bring in some folks from the outside. We're still working on those shows as we speak. Again, those will launch in June, July, and August. So don't abandon us forever. We'll be back. We're going to take a bit of a summer break or make it a little easier summer season for us. But that's it for season one. It's been great.
I guess the question is, do we re-record the intro?
Yeah, maybe we have to. Maybe we've got to mix it up for
the
summer.
That was one of the biggest decision points we had. Because we kept trying to use the actual quotes and things, and we were worried about legality. Yeah. Are we going to get sued? So then we just off the cuff did it on our own, and I don't know. I think it's held up. I think that's probably been some of the most commented aspect of the podcast is the intro.
So my second t-shirt offer here, Mike. If someone can tell us each one of those quotes, what movie they come from, I'll send you a Purdue t-shirt.
There you go.
Boom. Two t-shirts up for grabs. You got to either be foreign.
International. Swag, man.
You got to be listening from an international location or be able to identify.
One shirt per listener.
One shirt per contest. if our international listener says all the movies, I'll send you two shirts. Well, Mike, that's it for this episode. And that's it for season one. As always, thank you, Mike, for your hosting duties on the CyberTap. We appreciate Technician Eric for all his hard work, producer Jim. Do want to thank all our guests throughout the season. So George and Joe and Gene and anyone else that starts with a just sound that joined us. Hope and Anna and Chris, all those that joined us throughout the season. Thank you so much for your participation. And as always, thank you to our listeners. Once again, if you want to reach out to us, have ideas for the show, we'd love to hear from you. CyberTap podcast@purdue.edu. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt. Talking in June.